Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anajar and Levine Studios,
this is Action Sports Jacks with Brent Martineau.
Four o'clock hour on a Monday, Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690 rolls along. Still a lot to do. An interview with Brent and Buster Brown coming up a little bit later. In this segment, we got baseball going right now. Brent Martineau standing for the national anthem. I think Stuart Weber's around somewhere. So a lot still to do on a Monday edition of the show. We're going to talk some hockey as well, obviously, because you know how I care about my Tampa Bay Lightning. Isn't that right, Brent?
Yeah, you do care about your Tampa Bay Lightning. By the way, we're heading over to Tampa on Memorial Day weekend. We're going to watch the Rays and the Yankees. Not going to watch the Yankees, but watch the Rays and say hi to Travis Chapman, who's coaching first base for the Yankees. But also, apparently, Game 6 of the Lightning is on that Friday night. Ty noticed that, and so maybe could we catch a playoff hockey game, which might be cool if we could do that. So we will see if that's the case. Let's go to the phones right now, and we're going to go off topic a little bit. And how about talk a little bit women's tennis down at Flagler College, who's playing in the national championship, I think, over in Altamont Springs. Rod Puebla joins us now in Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. Coach, thanks for taking a couple minutes. Hey, give us the lay of the land here, because top of mind is not how tennis and the national championships work. We're used to individual tennis or doubles tennis. What's the format, and how do you feel about your group going into the national championships?
Hey, guys, thank you for having me here. It's pretty unique system. We we did this last year. We qualified for the Elite Sweet 16, but due to COVID, there was some sort of a Sweet Regionals, Super Regionals, and they were still playing on different sites. This year, we kind of went back to normal, the NCAA and D2, and they placed us all, the top 16 teams in the country on one site, and it all starts tomorrow. In the first round, it started around noon. So that's kind of how it works in tennis.
Okay, thanks for giving that a little bit of an explainer. Well, tell us about your tennis team. Obviously, this is a great feat to get where you're at. Can you win it? Can you make some noise? How do you feel going in?
Well, we had a pretty strong team. We finished two in the conference. We shared the title in our conference in the Peach Belt. We're ranked 11 in the country. And our number one place, she's our number four in the country in the NCAA Division II. And our number one doubles is actually our number six team in the country. So we do play St. Mary's tomorrow at noon in San Lando Park. And then, which they're the number nine team in the country, and we're seeded eight in the tournament here. So we do have a good option to move on to the Elite Eight, but you know how it is. We got to come out and play tomorrow.
Yeah, and you got to play well. Appreciate Rod Puebla joining us on Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690, Flagler women's tennis coach. And are all schools in tennis this loaded with international players? It's obviously an international sport, but you have, a young lady from Bradenton, Florida, but then you also have on your roster Germany, Chile, Guatemala, New Jersey, Germany, and Germany again. Is that and a focus for you in your recruiting, or is that commonplace in the women's tennis around the country?
It is based, it's like we all know, tennis is an international sport. It's very popular all over the world. Here, basically we do have a couple players from America, but usually the top players in America, they try to use the D1 route and go to the big programs in the country. Sometimes we get lucky here and there, but it's very tough to get the top players in the country to come to, I wouldn't say small school, but, like Flagler. But, yeah. It is the norm, kind of. Even on D1 route, you'll see most of them from overseas.
Well, by the way,
it is a norm.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of like, I feel like it's a fit. Am I making it up that Flagler has a lot of international students anyway? I don't know your entire student body, but I feel like from an athletic standpoint, there's a lot of international flavor on your rosters, not just tennis.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard not to come to Flagler. You know, it's a beautiful place, beautiful campus, and then, you know, you get all these Europeans trying to find the nice weather and great location that we have. It's hard to pass. And you know, we do have Addy. Addy, you know, Brunich from Bradenton, she's actually the granddaughter of Nick Bollettieri, and he's one of the most famous tennis coaches in the country. So she's kind of one of the different breed here that we have, but, you know, they're all trying to find their best place to go.
Rod Pueblo with us on Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. I'll leave you with this. The men's team also playing in the national championships. How cool is that, that both men's and women are in to this spot? And also just how good is tennis, I guess, at Flagler College?
Yeah, we started, last year it was just the women. Now, you know, Jonas started this year. He got that group together. Now they're in the top 16, and I believe they start on Wednesday here. At 8 a.m., they'll be their first round. So they stand a day later. But, you know, I think they have a great chance there. The number 7 seed. So it will be very exciting to have them here as well.
Well, thanks for taking a couple minutes, giving a little insight on Flagler College, women's and men's tennis. Rod, good luck over the next couple of days. Hope you get some W's and make some noise on the national level. But heck of a season just even to get to this point.
I know. Thank you so much for having me here. And, you know, we'll hope we can do something tomorrow.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Bye.
Brent Martineau here up at Charlton County as we're underway here for the Indians of Charlton County against Social Circle, which is obviously another school out of Georgia. We've got some interesting names. It's going to be because a lot of the charter schools and stuff, I was like, is that really a school? Yeah, that's a school name.
Anything could be a school name, Brent.
Yeah, I know. But we see it in Jacksonville now, right, all the time. Like, I think St. John's Country Day played it last year in the baseball, and I noticed, and they might see him again this year, Out of Door Academy.
Oh, like, I know about Out of Door.
But, like, how is that a school name?
Are they good now?
Like, and I don't want to, by the way, I got to be careful here, because I don't know exactly all the true meanings of the names, and you don't want to get yourself in trouble, but, I mean.
You already said it.
But Out of Door, does that sound like a school?
They're private. That's what I remember from them. And when we used to play them, they were bad. Like, we had to go far. I forget exactly where they are, but we had to bus a long way, and we beat them by, like, 14. It was something crazy. It was, like, really weird.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, they're good now. I can tell you that. They're good the last couple years in baseball.
Well, that's good.
At least I don't know much else about the school. But anyway, Charlton County playing. Social Circle just got going in the first inning here. And it looks like nice dive and play over there at third. So things going well for Charlton County. I'm going to go get some highlights, guys, for the next little bit. You guys take away this segment. We got a Buster Brown interview coming. So take it away back in Jacksonville. We'll rejoin you in just a few minutes after maybe I get a couple of runs for the good guys of Charlton County.
Sounds good, Brent. We'll talk to you then. Stuart Weber, back in the fold. What up with you?
What's happening? Just been getting stuff ready here for Action Sports Checks on CBS 47 and Fox 30. Of course, we do the whole TV thing as well. Getting our sports cast ready for tonight. Got a little college golf update on there. You know, college golf NCAA Division I men's regionals starting off today. Hitting the course. And guess who's leading their regional right now?
Give me the good news.
That'd be the UNF Ospreys. We are well aware of the talent that Coach Schroeder has put through that program over the years. Once again, performing well against the big dogs of the college game, as they are on top, tied for first in their regional. Three rounds, by the way, top five move on to the finals. So just got to keep it up.
Yeah, we had Coach on the other day. He thought they had a pretty good chance. So shout out to the Ospreys, you know. Osprey grad myself, Stuart Weber. So
yeah,
we're out here swooping left and swooping right,
swooping all over the place. Nick Gabralchik and Brandon Mancino off to a great start in that golf tournament. So we'll see if they can keep it going up in New Haven, Connecticut.
Yale, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
You're right.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Beautiful Connecticut.
Yeah, there you go. So Brent has this conversation with Buster Brown, Stuart Weber. I think you were there when this conversation took place. New member of the Jags. Any background you want the people to have before they hear the conversation?
His name's Buster. We'll find out why in this conversation that Brent Martineau had. Yeah, I mean, late round draft pick, a guy who you don't know a whole lot about coming into it. Just know the fact that You know, his first team all conference in the SEC his last year there in Arkansas, because he was a ball hawk, guy who knew how to intercept the ball. So certainly able to come up with some good stats playing in the SEC. Not a bad conference last time I checked.
And it just means more.
It just means more. So much more. Especially in Fayetteville. We had a good chance to catch up with Buster Brown on the practice field after day two of Jaguars rookie mini camp. Brett Martineau chatting with Monteric Buster Brown.
You made it to the big time. How are these last couple days for you?
Man, it feels good, you know, just adjusting to the weather and getting to Florida. You know, I've been waiting for this opportunity, so it's finally here.
What's it like? I mean, is it just football at the end of the day?
Yeah, it's just football. It's just something I've been doing as a little kid, so ain't nothing more than football.
How about just kind of being in the stadium? You know, now that, does it hit you at all in these last couple of days that you're in the NFL? You signed your contract, all that stuff. I mean, has there been a moment like, okay, here we are?
You know, it hit me the first day, but, you know, after the first day, you know, you just got to get past that. You know, you just got to get ready to put in work, so you can't really just think about it too much. You know, I just thought about the one day and I just put it to rest and just get ready to work.
Do you know from maybe just growing up or playing in college or whatever, some of these guys, do you have any previous relationships with them?
You know, I got two former teammates here, Grayson Gunner and Brent Morgan. So it's good to see those guys, you know, and Razorback Red. So it's good to talk to them and see them around the facility.
Would you be here if you never transitioned to corner? Do you think you would have made it to the NFL as a safety?
I feel like I would have. Yeah, I would have been in the same position, so it would not matter.
How glad are you that you're playing corner, though? I mean, is it a better fit for you, and was that the right move?
You know, I could do anything, so just playing corner, you know, competing every day, competing every snap, you know, it's nothing like it. Like, everybody cannot do that, so I'm just happy to play corner.
Where did you take off? Like, where did you know going into Arkansas, like, hey, I got a chance to play in the NFL someday? Or was there some time in your collegiate career like, okay, I mean, you had a very productive career, obviously. Mm-hmm. So was there some time like, hey, I'm going to keep playing football after this?
No, growing up, I was a baseball player. And then I started playing football in middle school. And then towards high school, like my sophomore year, like, took off for me. And I just stuck with it. And that's when I knew I can make something in football.
All right, so bring you over to the Shrimp and throw a little batting practice. Can you hit it out of there or what?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely hit it, no doubt. No doubt, man.
We can get you over here and throw the first pitch out or something.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
What position were you in baseball?
I was a shortstop. Shortstop, I played outfield, center field, left field, right field. So I did it all.
Just an athlete, so you can do everything.
Oh, yeah.
All right, where did Buster come from?
You know, my grandma gave me that name as a kid, and it just stuck with me as a kid. And everybody loves the name. You know, it's some old shoes called Buster Brown shoes, so people love that and always tell me about the shoes and every time they hear my name, so it's a great name.
Is it better being a defensive player when your name's Buster?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It sticks with you. Everybody loves it. You know, they say it on TV. No, they don't say my real name, so it feels good to be called that.
What's the family call you? Does anybody call you Monteric?
No, not really. Not really. Some people, but mostly Buster.
What do you see now going into this season and really when it turns up? Obviously, you got some OTAs and things, but how do you approach the next few months and then trying to earn your spot and get in the rotation and all the things that you probably want to do going into season one?
You know, I got to come in here every day, you know, with a chip on my shoulder, you know, earn my respect to my teammates and, you know, coaches and show them what I can do. So just down, chip on my shoulder and head down and working every day.
We have not seen this. I know you guys are just getting a glimpse of this defense, but we don't know. I mean, there's a new defense coordinator, new system. Some of the stuff that you see, will you acclimate easily? Do you like what the playbook looks like?
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's kind of similar to Arkansas. So, you know, I'm just transitioning to this defense, you know, and just putting it in my Arkansas terminology and switching it to Jaguar terminology. So it's kind of similar to Arkansas. So I love the defense. It's meant to make plays. So you'll see later on.
Hey, a couple of quick ones for you. You did make a lot of plays. That production, why is that? Is there an instinct? Is there a nature to being around the football that some guys have and some guys don't? Why were you able to be so productive?
No, it started practice. You know, you got to compete every day at practice, you know, and I treated practice like game day. You know, I had great coaches, Barry Odom, you know, Sam Carter, to put me in them positions to make plays. So just practicing coaches, you know, I worked hard for that, and, you know, it paid off for me.
And the last one for you, you have been playing and playing and playing and producing and producing and producing. You might have to be a little more patient getting on that field as a rookie and some of the depth they have here. Is that an adjustment mentally? Do you have to change the way you think when you know you're maybe not going to go out there, play every snap, start, all those things?
You know, once I'm not on the field, you know, you just gotta take mental reps. When you're not on the field, you gotta see what the person in front of you doing. So, you know, just taking a lot of mental reps and, you know, learning. So,
man, good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That was Brent Martineau chatting with the 222nd overall pick in the NFL draft this season by the Jags, Buster Brown. Weber, I'm kind of, I don't know. I liked what he was saying. I like hearing him talk. He has that energy, right? You can kind of feel it.
You can tell he's a guy who's done an interview or two in his day. And you can always tell the guys who haven't. The big key for Buster Brown is really going to be what can he do on special teams to get things started. Because you take a look at the...
Everything was perfect. We talked a lot about the special teams problems. So a guy like this can make an impact on special teams and then maybe find his way into the lineup at some point because, like you said, Trey Herndon, who's been here a bit, Shaq, who... couple years left on the deal, but although it's locked up right now, that doesn't mean he can't earn a spot down the road as long as he performs on special teams.
Yeah, so that'll be one of the guys to keep an eye on, and as we said going into that interview, he's the guy who's proven it at the highest level of college football in the SEC. He's played in those big-time atmospheres, those big-time Southeastern Conference matchups and games that matter. Obviously, Arkansas with a bit of a resurgence here as of late as well, so he was a big part of that. Buster Brown, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Great name as well. So that was that on Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690. Coming up at 5, me and Brent will talk a little bit more about the schedule. We will also
Are you excited about the schedule?
No. Okay, so that's another, like, you talking about schedule in general or like the release?
A little, yeah, let's say the release. I mean, okay. that's the newest thing, right? Obviously, it came out Thursday night?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I
just like that I can start planning for the fall.
Yeah, like, Brent said the same thing, but I played FIFA, like, while it came out. Okay. And then, like, it came out, and I was like, okay, great. Like, am I wrong to not care at all? Like, it's May.
I mean...
Like, I know you guys have, you guys got to schedule flights and all that stuff. I stay here, so I don't have to do that.
It lined up well for vacation plans for me.
Of course it did.
Like, it could not have gotten any better. A little bye week right before Thanksgiving. Can't wait. It's great. Perfect.
Speaking of vacation, Brendan asked you, and I don't know if you're coming back, so I will. How was Peru?
Peru was good. Yeah, went down to South America for the past week. First time I was ever down there. That was it was an experience, man. Machu Picchu, one of the 7 wonders of the world. Had a chance to go see it, and it is, it definitely lives up to the billing. It is a breathtaking experience to see that there.
Did you go to a soccer match?
I did not. Unfortunately, the timing did not line up. I was in the middle of the jungle in the Amazon on the Incan Trail when the teams were playing in Lima and Cusco, so I didn't get a chance to go see the teams play. I had to enjoy nature and hikes and mountain biking and whitewater rafting instead. Tough change there.
Did you see any terrifying animals?
No, I saw a dead snake in a jar, but it wasn't terrifying.
Jar?
It was in a jar, yeah.
Why?
They were, like, fermenting the juices, man. I don't know.
I hate snakes.
These things happen. You hate snakes?
Terrified, bro.
Okay. Well, sorry about
Why
that.
Why did you judge me? You judged me, for sure.
Because it's just a little snake. What's the problem?
Okay, well, there's a difference between a little snake. Like, I don't know how big the jar was. But if it's, like, a gallon jar. Like, a barrel jar. You didn't say it was, like, a small jar you buy at the Walmart.
Like, a gallon.
You're telling me it was a gallon jar?
Yeah.
And the snake was little?
I mean... It was probably a good 5-6 footer snake. Snakes are more afraid of you than you're afraid of them.
Not necessarily.
Friend.
Like the meat, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. But like, here's my thing with snakes. Like, I'm not a snake expert, right? So I don't know which ones are like venomous. So any little snake, it might be small. It might be 5 feet. Congratulations. What if it's venomous? It can kill you. It's the same thing with spiders. I'm not scared of spiders. But, like, you never know which ones you want to mess with and which ones you don't.
A lot of things that can kill you in this world. That's no way to live worrying about it.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts. Well, my thoughts on life.
You were the one looking at snakes in a jar, so I guess you're right. Well, I'm glad your Peru trip was good, Stuart.
I am, too. It was a blast. Check out the Instagram if you want to see more. At Stuart Weber.
Not Worldwide Weber, though. Still can't get that one, huh?
Yeah, I'm working on it. He just won't sell it to me, that guy. Come on, guy, if you're listening. Sell me it.
He needs it.
I've got the Twitter account. I just need the Instagram.
Worldwide Weber on Twitter, not Instagram. And if you happen to be listening, please sell your account to Stuart Weber. We got more to do. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Well, you're going to look at the teams with cap space. A team like, let's say, for example, Oklahoma City, a San Antonio, Portland, teams who could create enough cap space to go out and sign them. But also the discussions of a sign-and-trade, meaning teams who maybe don't have the cap space. And if Phoenix decides they want to get assets back for DeAndre and they don't want to match an offer sheet and either decide to pay him that max or allow him to just leave for nothing, which I think is what they won't do. There'll be a lot of conversations around the league. DeAndre Ayton's going to get a max contract in the marketplace somewhere.
Woj right there talking about DeAndre Ayton and what went wrong for the Suns, but involves maybe having to get rid of some of the players that they thought were good that turned out were not good. But frankly, nobody for the Suns was good last night in a rout. Luka Doncic and the Mavericks head to the finals to take on Golden State. Continue talking about that as we go along throughout the week and on Action Sports Jacks Overtime as well. And we'll let Brian Middleton give his thoughts on it, and then I'll gloat a little bit about being right and him not being.
Isn't that
so
the
right.
best?
It really is.
It's always the best. I will say, I had a friend on Facebook, big Phoenix Suns fan, distraught, said that the title window is over.
Really?
It was a tight window.
It must have been
a short window.
Yeah, I mean, that probably has to do with Chris Paul being old, and now you have to pay Ayton. So, and then the Devin Booker question now is, he was horrible the other night. Is he actually that dude? So a lot of questions unanswered in Phoenix, that is for sure. Stuart Weber, Casey Kurtz with you. Brent Martineau getting some highlights right now as we speak. And I think he has more of that to do tonight, right, Stuart? There's a lot of local high school football action going on. Spring games are a thing right now.
Yeah, here in Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia, we're in a place that loves its football, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why everyone clamors for all the Jaguars talk, even in the middle of May, when there's nothing really to talk about except for practice.
Yep.
We still want to talk about football, talk about the NFL. Well, high school football right now is the end of spring practice. They started up about a month ago, and now we're starting to get some spring games all over the area. A little Monday night football tonight up in Kingsland in Southeast Georgia. Brent Martineau, as mentioned, will be swinging by the home of the Camden County Wildcats to check out one of the cooler stadiums we have in the area. That place on a Friday night gets a good 8,000-9,000 people out there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they love their football in Southeast Georgia now. You talk about there, you talk about Ware County, the Gators up there, Waycross. That's a really cool stadium, too. It's an old baseball stadium that they turned into the football stadium.
Interesting.
So part of it kind of has like the backstop with a little turn to it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's interesting. Memorial Stadium in Waycross. So, yeah, a lot of high school football here coming up over the next few weeks. Just these spring games. Good chance to kind of let these rosters see what they've got coming up for the upcoming year. And those games are just about every single night. Creekside plays tomorrow. Brent would probably tell you this at some point. You know, Creekside Sports Network and all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it.
That we are. They're going to be over at Baker County. But some good ones here on the horizon. I mean, Thursday night, Fleming Island's going to be at Mandarin, St. Aug and Bishop Kenny. I feel like they play every year in the spring. Trinity Christian at Fletcher on Thursday night. That'll be a good one down at the beach. Got to go check that out. Good games all over the area. Bartram Trail Friday night going to play at Columbia. And by the way, speaking of Columbia, they too have a baseball game tonight. In the regionals, the Elite Eight, trying to get to the Final Four. So we'll have those highlights coming up tonight on Action Sports Jacks. Our friends in Gainesville going to go shoot that game for us in Lake City as the Columbia Tigers look to advance to the Final Four. So we're just all over the place in spring sports and even a fall sport, you know, acting like a spring sport in spring football. And by the way, shout out to all the track and field state champions over the weekend. It's always such a tough thing for us to cover because I mean, there are literally dozens of local student athletes on boys and girls sides who've won state championships here over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it's just impossible to get to all of them. So as a former track and field athlete who never sniffed a state meet, I would like to say a big congratulations to everyone who not only won, but stood on that podium by the end of the state meet and had a chance to go represent your school and yourself. So congratulations to all the track and field athletes. Field just as important as track.
Absolutely, and well done for you to mention that. Let me ask you a couple things about high school football that I at least have questions
sure.
on. I know you have the answers for.
Is it about the concession stands?
Oh,
when
no.
does season two of Casey's Concessions make its drop?
Hey, man, coming to a live streaming radio / video program near you in the fall.
Love it.
But let me ask you this. So the first one is... The reason I know this is Bobby Ramsey. I interviewed him when I was in college. I know he's no longer the coach of Mandarin.
Correct.
First of all, the first part of the question is, where is Bobby Ramsey now?
Yeah.
Who now coaches Mandarin? And then the third question is, the follow-up, I guess, would be, what other coaching changes are there in the area?
There's been a lot of coaching changes in the area, so I'll focus on the Bobby Ramsey portion of that question. And he's going to Impact Christian. So this was a team that had been playing eight-man football. They're taking the jump up to 11-man football, and this will be their first year playing, you know, the full-size, full-field 11-man football. And Bobby Ramsey, this is a different challenge for him, right? You're talking about building this program from scratch and doing it in an area that has some really successful private school programs. When you consider what Trinity Christian, Bowles, University Christian, all these teams in Duval County have been able to do, well, you can kind of envision that for your school. So if you're Impact Christian, a team that's still relatively new and has had some success on the basketball arena, trying to make that splash on the football field by bringing in Bobby Ramsey, a guy who has coached a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who has coached a Mr. Football in the state of Florida. Of course, talking about, you know, that Derrick Henry guy.
Oh, yeah. Heard of him.
Heard of him. Carson Beck.
Also heard of him.
Quarterback on the University of Georgia roster. So he has certainly had his share of talented players come through his programs, and now he'll attempt to do that with Impact Christian. They had their spring game just this past last week, and so they will start to turn an eye towards the fall, and we'll, of course, have them on the Friday Night Blitz. I haven't said Friday Night Blitz in a while.
Uh-oh.
It's been months since I've said that out loud.
Thankfully.
So, hey, excited about a new season. Brent Martineau is excited about it. I know that.
Absolutely. We're ready. We're getting fired up. By the way, speaking of, our buddy Kevin Sullivan getting the field named after him on Friday. How about that at Jackson High School? So on Main Street, and I know a lot of folks in the area know Sully, and he is an analyst for us during the high school football season, but knows everybody. So if you hadn't heard that, that might be a cool thing to go over to. I think, Stuart, it's about 5:30 on Friday evening before they play their spring game, which starts at 6 o'clock. So that'll be a special night for Sully, who's done so much. He coached football over there. He's been the AD. He's really done a heck of a lot on Main Street over there, and very well respected, as he should be.
Yeah, and of course, started the program at Atlantic Coast, helped take over at Ed White, and provides all the insight on the Friday Night Blitz as our high school football expert. So we love having him on the show. And it's great to see Coach Foy and the folks at Jackson, who are obviously coming off a great season for them, making it into the postseason, playing in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And Coach Foy has that thing going in the right direction. By the way, Coach Foy made an appearance on Saturday night's edition of Action Sports Jacks Primetime. I don't know if you saw it, but of course, Devin Wilson, star wideout, wide receiver for the Jacksonville Sharks, slash offensive coordinator for the Andrew Jackson Tigers, making a terrific over-the-catch, over-the-wall catch for a touchdown, captured by yours truly, and then snapped the camera over to the stands, and sure enough, there's his number one cheerleader, Coach Foy, holding up the sign saying, go Coach Dev.
That's awesome.
It was really cool.
Good stuff. Yeah. That's pretty wild that he's playing both, doing both.
And, by the way, Coach Foy's son was standing right next to me because he was doing the ball boy duties down in the arena.
Okay, Sharks won pretty big too, by the way.
Yeah, 49-20 over the Columbus Lions, a team that beat them in the season opener. Bittersweet because the head coach of the Columbus Lions, big good friend of mine, Jason Gibson, from my last market when I worked in Columbus, he has been a arena football coaching legend there. I mean, he's led that team for over 15 years through many different leagues and does a lot for the community up there. So good little rivalry between Jacksonville and Columbus in the National Arena League.
All right. Hey, Clay Harbor helping produce the show today. I saw this tweet, guys. PFF, he said, did their offseason grade today, gave the Jags a C+, which is only better than six other teams. So, and he even said, if you include the head coaching change, I think the Jags improved as much as any other franchise this offseason. And I was a little surprised by that, too. Are you guys surprised to see C+ for all the moves, all the money spent, and what they got early in the draft? I know there's not a lot late in the draft to get super excited about, but, I mean, if from a grade standpoint, now, like, it doesn't matter. They have to show it on the field even if they got an A+. But if you're only catching up to six teams, that's a start. But that ain't good enough here in Jacksonville. They've got to make some hay, especially if you're going to go pay $175 million and you've got a first overall pick and you've got numerous picks in the top three rounds. So, like, the Jet, again, a grade's a grade. Point being is your offseason moves at the end of 2022 have to look better than more than six teams in the NFL.
So are you telling me someone is trying to hand out some off-season championships, like a legitimate, hey, these are the best things that you did in every part of the off-season? Because the Jags for years have been hailed as off-season champions of the world.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people have been excited about, even the draft, right? So that was kind of what I was like. I actually said this to some folks. I was like, I'm actually more I like this better that everybody's complaining or doesn't love it nationally.
Sunshine and rainbow, sure.
Because I've been around here long enough to know that all the off seasons that people have loved, the national folks included, hey, they're going to turn it, hasn't panned out. So maybe this one goes a little bit more under the radar. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter what people give you grades to talk. Like, we can all say, hey, I thought it was better, it wasn't better. But the reality of the situation is, like, we did this. We're going to talk about the schedule later. But here's a little bit of a barometer test. The Jags play the Texans twice, the Jets, the Lions, and maybe that was it. I was thinking Houston twice, the Lions, and the Jets. I feel like there was one other team in there. But let's just – no, that's it.
The Giants.
Giants. There you go. There you go. So the Giants. So take those five games because it's four teams, but it's five games. Well, by the end of this year, you hope the Jags are moving ahead of all those teams. That's why I think the Jets game is so big, because that's a parallel line with Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence and rebuilding and new coaches and
they won
and
that
all
one
this
last
stuff.
Year. Yeah.
And they won last year, and I'm not sure. It was such a weird year and with Urban and stuff. Like, I'm not going to black mark them too much for that, but I don't want them losing two in a row, and I don't want Zach Wilson looking really good on that Thursday night game and Trevor not looking good. So that's my point. But the whole thing is you're in a parallel line with a bunch of those teams, the bottom feeders. Your job is to escape them, right? You have to try over the next year, maybe it takes two, to separate from them, because the only way you're going to gain on Houston, Indianapolis and Tennessee and the rest of the league is to separate from those bottom feeder teams. Now, maybe a couple come with you. Maybe the Jets are good as well. But there's not a great chance that the Detroit Lions, the Giants, the Jets, the Jags, and Houston all over the next 3 years are good. So you better be able to separate from that. And so that's what I think is pretty interesting about, like, a grade like that, where they're saying, hey, the Jags really – and we know that the Jets probably got a better grade because everybody loved their draft. And so the Jags have to be better, guys, when you're comparing to the bottom. They have to start separating.
So here's the thing. Much like any student who wants to get into broadcasting, the grades don't matter. These are important things to realize for the future. Grades don't matter. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. Just a little bit. But hey, I mean, you look at what the Bengals did. I mean, going from that number one overall pick, finding a way up into the 20s when it comes to power rankings the next year, and then making their way all the way to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you see the blueprint out there. You hope that the Jaguars can find some sort of blueprint of their own and maybe get ranked like 23rd in the power rankings by the end of the year. How's 23rd sound? 23rd sounds pretty good.
Well, 23rd would be like the 12th pick. Like, if the Jags are picking 12 or 11 or 13 or 4, like, to be honest with you, that is better.
Yeah.
Like, that is growth. Like, you don't want to be picking top 5, and quite frankly, I don't think you want to be picking top 10. Can you get out of the top 10? And I actually think that might be a step of growth. I mean, that seems crazy. I think it might be. We'll be back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690.
Buy those tickets, because once again you're going to be disappointed by the reigning, defending, two-time Stanley Cup champions of the world, Tampa Bay Lightning. You blew it. You guys blew it. You just didn't get it done in Tampa when you had to get it done. The Lightning do not lose Game 7. All of the pressure is on one man named Jack Campbell, and he's not ready for the pressure. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, I don't care who comes out on the ice for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they will not get it done. They will fold, and the Lightning will move on and disappoint the Toronto Maple Leafs yet again in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Brian Middleton.
I said what I said.
Well, that aged well.
Yeah, I guess so. That's I like the selfish ambition we like in our Action Sports Jacks department. That's cool that you pulled your own take producing this show. I like that.
I'm going to keep it honest with you, Brent. If I don't pull it, nobody else is going to.
That's true, but I like that.
Yeah, listen, when I think it's fair. When you're right, you got to call it out, and when you're wrong, you also got to call it out, but definitely on a lower scale, right? You don't play it as a rejoinder. Maybe slide it in the middle of a segment when there's only a couple seconds left.
Or let Middleton do that at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, he'll get after me. Yeah, he won't pull that because I was right, you know. But, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I said, if you missed the context of that, I said there's no chance that Toronto, they had to win one of two games, 6 or 7. I said you have to win game 6 because the Lightning are not losing game 7. You have championship pedigree. They're not losing game 7. They're not scared to play on the road in game 7. And Toronto didn't get it done. So I knew it was going to happen when they didn't win game six, and look what happened.
The NHL playoffs, I'm saying right now, are so good, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So good. So why don't I watch it more?
Yeah, it's a great question because I can't really come up with an answer for you, right? So I'm a Lightning fan, so I'm obviously locked in there. Stayed up past midnight watching Calgary and Dallas last night. No problem for me watching Edmonton, locked in, best player in the league. Have to watch that. Rangers series had everything you needed, a little drama. Sydney was hurt. So everything going on in that series, I don't know why you can't get locked into it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, listen, some of it's just schedule and whatever. But I said this earlier in the show, I flipped it on. I saw it was like 3-2, the Rangers game. And so I was like, I'm back. Like I was back in the office mm-hmm. after I went over to the J-Fund stuff. And so I'm flipping on. So there's a reason why I wasn't watching it front to back because I wasn't there.
You know,
I wasn't anywhere to watch it. But I got to be honest with you. Like, it wasn't like I was checking every, you know, if there's something I really want to watch, I'll at least keep up with the score, right? Or I'll watch on social media or, you know, at least stay tuned. I wasn't until I got back. And then I was like, hey, I wonder what's going on in the hockey game. Or I saw somebody tweet about it. It's like, oh, I got to put this on. And I didn't stay up and watch Calgary. I checked it out this morning, though, because I saw it everywhere, and it was great. I mean, the scene in Calgary was unbelievable.
Yeah.
After, like, whatever they call their deer district or whatever.
Yeah.
Outside. So, but again, like, I said this last week on the show. I said it last night on TV again. There are, like, three guaranteed things in sports, like, around hockey. Playoff hockey is unbelievable. Game seven hockey is even more unbelievable, and handshake lines are the best.
Yep.
And, like, they're not debatable. Like, it's all good. Yet, I know that. I've watched plenty of playoff hockey. I've watched plenty of sports. Yet, I can't get myself to just sit there and lock in. I think some of it might be because I'm not a fan of anybody anymore. Like, I was a fan of the Bruins as a kid. I watched the Bruins and Celtics, like, every night. But then I lost touch with that, and I mean, sure, if you asked me to pick a team, I'd take the Bruins, but I could probably name seven people on the Bruins. Like, that's how much I don't watch them. So, and I'm not a fake fan. Like, I don't do that.
I appreciate that.
So, I just keep it real. Like, there's no reason for me to know all that stuff about the Bruins. I have to know more about, like, a local high school team than I have to know about the Bruins.
That's true.
And so, it's fascinating psychology to me. And it almost goes back to all this conversation I've had over the years of, like, I'm just maybe not as big a sports fan as I once was. Well, that's for sure. But when you cover it and, I guess, do it, maybe I'm a little different in that realm because we're covering it, we're doing all this stuff, we're running around, we're getting high school stuff, or we're getting college stuff, or we're just not there to be in front of the TV all the time, maybe the way I would be if I wasn't in the business. And then I'd be more like Ty, and I'd be locked in on my couch and flipping back and forth because that's what he does.
So
that's
he was what I locked used to into do. Hockey.
He was.
Good kid.
Yeah, like, he'll raise text me. Right, he'll be like, this game's unbelievable. The thing about Ty, which is crazy, is, like, he thinks whatever he's watching, I'm watching. Like, so he thinks anytime he changes the remote, the channel, he changed the channel, like, it's like, in my world, like, I'm doing the same thing. It's a fascinating, he's done it forever. He's like, did you see that play? I'm like, Ty, what game are you watching, and what player are you talking about?
That's fair.
But he does. He texts about, like, the hockey. And he was like, he's like, this is awesome, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. And again, the first thing, only thing he probably said this morning was game six, May 27th, Friday night. And he knew we were going to probably be in Tampa. And he is kind of a Lightning fan. Like, he's a
good kid,
not a diehard, but he's seen the Lightning do well, right? So he's kind of jumped on that train. He's also a Rays fan. So maybe we go over there. And by the way, if we go to the game, I'd enjoy it. It'd be great. I just don't find myself watching it on a nightly basis. Like, I actually watch more of the Grizzlies and Warriors series and maybe even more of the Bucks-Celtics series than I did in the hockey. And by the way, you can make the case the hockey was more entertaining and better to watch.
It definitely was. I mean, yeah, here's the thing about hockey that is kind of, I can't figure out. So people don't like baseball because it's boring. There's, like, downtime. That's fair. Granted, there's downtime in football and more than we really want to talk about, but there's downtime in football. So that's kind of a tough argument to make with the boring part of it in baseball, but nonetheless, we'll just kind of clump it all together. There's not much downtime in hockey. Things are happening all the time. So, like, it's, I think, and not taking a shot at you, but, like, if you get it on, I think you're staying. Like, I think people just have a hard time getting it on the TV when, like, something like the NBA or obviously, like, if – or for you, maybe Sunday Night Baseball. Obviously, if football was on, there's probably no contest there. But I think once people get hockey on, it's very difficult to leave.
All right, I'm gonna give you a couple other reasons, okay? I think maybe the case, and maybe people bounce around. One, we now know, it's almost like an NBA game, where you can tune into the last 10 minutes of most NBA games, unless it's like the Suns last night, where they're down by 42.
Right.
But, and you know, like, I'm probably going to get a good finish, right? That's the way the NBA works.
True.
In playoff hockey, you know you could watch, like, the first period, the second period, it'll be good, but there's nothing like watching the last 10 minutes in overtime. And so it's like, I'm so used to that now, so tune me in when that comes, because I want to see that good stuff. This is good, but I want to see the great stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think we flip and we lose a little bit of viewing habits because of the lengthy intermissions. Like,
that is true.
It's like a collegiate halftime every time in between periods.
Yeah.
And so we start watching something else, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to go back. And again, if you're not a diehard fan of a team, then you're not, like, trained to be like, oh, I got to go back. I mean, you might then join that second period or third period after 7 minutes have gone by. And I think the last thing about hockey is we still, like, hockey's fantastic. It's exciting. There's so much stuff. But it's still hard to follow that dang puck and see it all the time. And that's not me, by the way. But I'm just saying, like, a casual observer, you don't know where the heck the thing is. Even on the winning shot from the Rangers, I needed seven replays to find out where that puck went. Which, by the way, it was an unbelievable shot. Yeah. I have no idea how it got through, and now I know why the goalie didn't see it, because neither did anybody else.
Yeah, when it first happened and he's just, like, sitting there and, like, trying to figure out how he didn't catch it, I'm like, what are you doing? Make a play. And then, like, you see it, and there's no, like, opening at all. It's like, oh, I get it. I understand now. It's crazy.
So, again, it's not like I think some of those reasons may work, and they're probably different for each person. But, man, it's good. I will watch it. I just probably won't watch it from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, or 8 to 11. Might be more apt to go catch, like, the late Calgary game,
which went into overtime, by the way.
But yeah,
anyway, real quick before we go to break, breaking news: Chelsea will be getting a Champions League spot. They will finish in the top four of the Premier League. Just so you know, Brent.
All
good on the Champions League front for Chelsea. They will be in it next year.
Now you guys can really settle in that you know that. Everybody listening to ESPN 690, and we can come back with football at 5. Hear from Tom Coughlin, what he had to say about Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. And I have some schedule questions from leftovers that we didn't get to. We got that coming up. Football 5 on ESPN 690. We're live at Troughton County High School here on a Monday afternoon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.